Hello and welcome to the Trading College podcast, where we look to bring you some of the most thought-provoking ideas about trading and what you could do to improve your trading.
Hi everyone, thanks for joining in for this episode of the podcast, and I've got Oshin with me today. How's it going, Oshin? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. I see you're back by popular demand.
that's nice.
no, genuinely, I'm getting some good feedback from the sessions and the podcast that you're in, so I thought I'd rope you into this one, so it's pretty cool. So yeah, how have you been? How's trading going?
Yeah, no, it's been going good, thanks. I'm sort of experimenting with a sort of different time frame, sort of going up some time frame, so more like the 4-hour type charts, just because I find it gives you so much like freedom in the day. I'm finding those sort of time frames a lot easier to trade these days.
Wow. So the swing trading is calling you, is it?
I know. Yeah. Weirdly.
Welcome to the dark side. I know. Obviously, we've got a really good even split between swing traders and day traders. Even when I was at the seminar the other day, I asked there, and you know, a lot of the Trading College contingent were there, and I said, you know, how many day traders we got and how many swing traders we got, and it was such an even split. So when I was doing the session, like, I had to like really cater it for both types of traders. But like, you can see, there's not, you know, there's definitely not one more popular than the other, is there?
No, it does seem pretty even, and I guess like they've both got different benefits, haven't they, for fitting into to different people's lifestyles. So you can see why people tend to gravitate towards one more than the other.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, we'll kick on with today's subject. So today's subject, we're going to talk about like trading probabilities and probabilities in general. So this is probably a good time to talk about it, because when we go on the retreat as well, Oshin, I've got some things planned, some probability games planned for the people who are there. But,
brilliant.
But just generally before that, what I think we should do a bit of an introduction. So what does it mean to you to basically, you know, to trade with the probabilities in your favor? I mean, what does that mean to you in your trading, Oshin?
Well, to me, when I think about probabilities and like sort of lining them up in your favor, I'm thinking about things like trading with a bias, making sure that the signals are exactly how you've back tested them. And it's just sort of stacking those sort of things in your favor so that the trades that you take overall, they've got a higher percentage of winning than losing, really.
Yeah, so basically you've got your winning to losing ratio, and you want to make sure that you're within the parameters that you set to keep you profitable. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. So I mean, like for me, there's a couple of nuances to this, because obviously we've got your win to loss ratio of your trades, which you've just mentioned, right?
Yeah.
Then obviously that's also dramatically going to be affected by your risk to reward ratio as well. And then just in general, like on your account as well, so your account management. So I kind of split the probability of these things in three different areas normally when I'm just looking at an account on its own. You know, if we're just talking in basics, you know, normally if we're just playing heads or tails, you know, tossing a coin, you know, we got a 50-50 win rate, you know, over a certain period of time. Now, I think what traders need to think about is that even if you've got a 50-50 win rate and you're doing 100 coin tosses, you're going to even out over around 100 or 200 or 300. The numbers will even out the further you go in this, right? Mm. But at any one stage or another, you're going to get a few heads in a row and a few tails in a row, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's the same with trading and having like winning streaks and losing streaks. You know, if your results are evenly balanced, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, you should be aiming for 50-50 win rate or whatever. That's just the example I'm giving with the coin. You've got to realize that you're going to go through some really good phases in your trading, and you're also going to go through some bad phases in your trading, and how to account for that, you know, and you know how to balance for that. So in your own experience, what, you know, how have you been with something like that, Oshin? If you've gone through like a, you know, a balanced winning streak and losing streak, what would you normally do in that regard?
Well, I think that the coin analogy that you made is a really good one, because it makes it really clear when it's 50-50, the probabilities that you're looking at, they have to be over a big sort of set of the data. Yes. So it's going to be 50-50 If you do 100 Turing courses, like you said, but you can't ever predict with any sort of certainty what the exact result of the one next coin toss is going to be. It's always over like the bigger set of data. And the way that I sort of went to think about it is then from that, that even if you've got a strategy, like our trend predictor strategy, for instance, that's winning sort of 70% of the time. If something loses, it's not because you've done something wrong or that you've made a mistake. It's because you're just within that sort of 30% of the trades that you take that was going to lose. So it's inevitable that you're going to lose some. And I think a sort of a mistake that a lot of people think when they're sort of thinking about trading before they've started to learn it is that you sort of you go into it, and I think that you imagine that there's going to be this one sort of trading strategy that's going to win 100% of the time, and that's like the goal that you're all working towards. Whereas that's not really the case. You're not ever going to find a strategy that's going to win 100% of the time, and it's how comfortable you become with those probabilities that you so you can sort of take those losses without it influencing your sort of decision making going ahead.
No, there's a great synopsis of that, actually. I think it's a great way of putting it, because I think if you leverage yourself into like one massive trade or, one specific strategy that's always that you believe is the Holy Grail, it's very rarely do we actually see that work, isn't it? I think like a strategy, like you said, like the trend predictor, is going to work on all different markets, and you can hedge yourself on different markets and also maybe even a few different time frames. Like you've said, you recently moved up to the weekly time frame, but I know, that you trade daily trend. You used to trade daily trend predictors quite a lot, and they're pretty good as well, aren't they? So it's a really, really good example of just hedging yourself to make sure that you are getting enough of those numbers to work on. So one exercise I do with a lot of the students on my kind of mentorship is I set them up with a chart, and I put two targets on the chart. So 150 points above, 150 points below. And I'll always ask them, I'll just say, look, what's the probability of this trade winning? And normally a lot of them will go with the trend. They'll say, okay, well, if the trend is moving up, it's a higher likely that we're going to hit that 50-point target than we are on the way down. Potentially, without doing any analysis, it's still 50-50, but maybe with the analysis and going with the trend, you can slightly tip the edge in your favor in that regard. So I talk to them about that. Then we start adding in like the other things, like you said, like the trend predictors, like the momentum triggers. And then we slowly, just over time, we back test this and forward test this. We basically gather our numbers to put together our probability percentages of our trades winning. Now, in real time, obviously anything can happen. So when you're working on your probabilities, that's indicative of the results that you've just collected. Nothing can tell you what's going to happen in the future, if you know what I mean. But this is just a useful exercise, because some people who listen to this podcast are, not really traded, or they're new to trading. So it's good for you to try and collect maybe 20, 30 trades worth of data. Work out the probability of that strategy working over that period of time, and then working, because obviously Oshin knows the trend predictor quite well because he trades with it, so he can comfortably say, 60 to 70% of the time that hit rate's going to work. But also the thing is Oshin's really knows about his balance of risk to rewards. So like, if you're risking 50 quid to make 100 quid every trade, or £500 to make £1,000 every trade, you're going to need to know where your stop losses and targets are going to be. And that's really going to change the parameters of your win rate, isn't it?
Massively. It's sort of something that I found from back testing is like not only does it help you to be able to trust in the probabilities of the strategy that you're trading, because if you get a couple of losers in a row, you can always go back and think, yeah, but I know that over 20 or 30 trades it's going to work and it's going to make money overall. It doesn't matter that I've had two losers in a row right now. And it's just very, very, very interesting to do that. And with the back testing as well, it also teaches you how sort of scientific you have to be with trading in a way. And like we always joke, we're very like robotic with our trading, whereas some of the other coaches, they're sort of like more flexible with their approach and where they take profit and things like that. But something that you have to do with back testing in order for the results to be reliable is that the test has to be the same on every single sort of trade setup that you're looking at. Yeah. So your stop loss has to be in sort of exactly the same place, and your target should be in the same place as all the other ones in that set. And so really sort of the probabilities of that, you really sort of start to see how that stacks up.
Yeah, because obviously if you've got a really balanced risk to reward, let's say 1.5 to 1, so for every £50 you're risking, you want to aim for £75, your win rate could potentially be higher. You could have a 70, 80% win rate with a strategy like that. But if you're going for like 6 to 1, 7 to 1s, you know, you could be happy with a win rate of 30% or 35%, you know? So it really just does depend on what you're doing from there. I mean, like some traders that I've known in my history, even at Summit Trading College, you know, have really excelled with a balanced risk to reward rate, which, you know, maybe they'll be trading with like £200-300 a trade and aiming for £300-400 a trade, you know, and they might win two or three trades a day and only lose one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas me, you know, for example, I like really, really long-term trades that last me a long time. I don't really mind if I lose four trades, but I win two really, really big ones. It really doesn't bother me in the slightest, because I know those two big winners are going to make me like $5,000-7,000 each, whereas the losers are only going to lose like £300-400. So I don't bat an eyelid at something like that, you know? So, yeah. It really depends on the personality and how you can handle the probability of win rate that you've given yourself. If you need to be someone that wins all the time, you need to have a more balanced risk to reward. If you don't mind and you like these big Hollywood pie in the sky trades, then you have to get used to losing, don't you?
yeah, definitely. And I was going to ask, so talking like if you did happen to lose four in a row, and you say like now that it doesn't bother you, is that sort of a part of your personality that was always there, or is that something that you learned how not to be bothered?
No, I definitely think I learned it. I think when I first started and I was a Forex trader, I think I didn't really understand this as well as I do now. I think I really thought, you know, that I should be winning a lot of trades like I did at the beginning. I mean, it was, you know, I think I got into bad habits from my early days of trading and not having much education. So I thought, you know, I needed to win more often than not. But then when I moved over to trading stocks, what actually happened was is I caught two or three really good trends, and those trades were making me money while I was losing on some smaller trades at the same time.
Right, okay.
So as I had those longer term positions making money in the background and losing the shorter term trades, I was actually realizing that it was the big trades that were more important to me, and I didn't mind losing those smaller trades because those big trades were making so much money.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, that's what taught me that, actually. So it wasn't that I was just taking, you know, two or three trades at a time and just leaving them. I was losing a couple of trades, which obviously had smaller, you know, stop losses because they're closer, because my targets were so big. So they were easier to get stopped out. So, and they also were quicker to get stopped out. So that's another important point, actually, we should mention. So like if you're trading 3-1, 4-1 risk to rewards, and you're risking £100 to try and make £400 or £500, because your risk is obviously tighter than where your target is, it's easier for them to get stopped out, and it's going to happen quicker.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to ride out those losers while those winners take a long time to win, aren't you?
Yeah. I think it's definitely something that a concept that people sort of struggle to understand at the beginning. Mm. But as you get used to it and you sort of back test and forward test more, like it really becomes obvious how much you have to like believe in that.
Yeah, because that's the other thing I ask everyone. It's like, averagely, how long do you feel like you can stay in a trade? I say that to everyone. I was like, do you think you can stay in a trade for a week, or does it have to close within the same day? You know, yeah. I ask that because then that's actually also an important part of your trading plan, because then you need to know who you're dealing with. Are they, you know, do they want to take a trade in the morning and hopefully close it by 5-6 o'clock in the evening? Or do they want to do it within an hour? We've got some very scalpy traders who, you know, aim for just 20-30 points at a time, you know, on the DAX or on oil or something. And that's obviously like really, really quick. So, you know, we've got very, very different sets of people, and very people who have different time horizons. But then also, as you know, some people change, you know, like, one of our most successful traders ever at Trading College came in to be a swing trader and ended up being a day trader, you know?
And I think that's been sort of one of the parts that I've enjoyed the most about being a part of Trading College is just seeing how varied everybody is in their sort of attitudes to risk. Because I sort of went into it and sort of assumed that people would be relatively similar to how I see things, but trading is one of those topics that it really teaches you just how different people are with different personalities and different tolerances. So yeah, it's amazing, really.
Yeah, I know. And then, like there's obviously different market phases too. So obviously if we've got bull markets, bear markets, sideways markets, having to adjust and the probabilities changing within those types of markets as well, having to adjust to those markets is also something that's really, really important because when my long-term trades, if I've got weekly and monthly price within the moving averages, I just say on my scan clubs and stuff, look, I'm just not trading this, I'm walking away. Like oil at the moment is on the weekly and the monthly, it's in the moving averages and it's just moving sideways. And a lot of people ask me about oil because it's so popular, and I'm like, I just don't have an opinion on it at the moment. It's just not in a place where I can trade it, you know?
Because it's so, because if you made money on something like oil in the past, it's so tempting just to keep looking at it every day. But again, with like the probabilities, you know that you might have back tested that your strategy works the best when things are outside of the moving averages and when the things are trending better. So when the markets start to change into a different phase, and like you said, they've sort of gotten a bit stuck and sideways in the moving averages, you have to recognize sort of when those probabilities might not be on your side and take a step back and focus on a different market, because there's always going to be something out there that you can trade.
Definitely. So I know yours and my favorite, one of our favorite authors is Annie Duke, right? So you tell me, like, in terms of what she's kind of taught you about, probability and, what you've taken from her podcasts and her books and all of that kind of stuff, what did that change for you? How did you feel about that?
No, I found it very interesting because like her concept is that every sort of like decision that you make in life is effectively a bet, because although it might not be to do with money directly like it is in trading, it's something like if you're choosing to take a job in a different city, you're balancing a lot of different aspects, like how much you're going to enjoy living in the city, and is it going to make your lifestyle better? Is the money better or worse? But if the money's worse, maybe that's worth it because the lifestyle is going to be better. And when she explains it like that, you can really sort of see how probabilities sort of come into everything we do, not only trading. It was really interesting.
Yeah, so you recently moved to a different city. Did you take that into account?
In a way I did, yeah, because I was thinking like, because obviously I had a very nice life in Glasgow and a lovely flat. And so you got to think about those sort of stuff, like what sort of house or flat you're going to end up in when you move city, because you're not guaranteed to find somewhere as nice. So yeah, in a way you are thinking about all of those things.
Yeah, I mean, the other one that was very interesting that she spoke about was very similar to that, was ordering food in a restaurant. So, you've got people that always order the same food in every restaurant that they go. That I find interesting as well, because I do like to try different food, but like if I'm going to like an Italian or something, or you do obviously tend to order the same food, but how do one, you don't know, it's not obviously going to taste the same in every restaurant, and plus their signature dishes in each place are going to be different. I mean, these are all probability based events, aren't they? And they're so interesting. I think the biggest thing that I think out of that book is there was a story about the American football coach who tried to do this play at the end of the game, isn't it? And it made me think about trading, because you could do everything right, you could follow all of your rules, and you could do everything perfectly and still lose. Yeah. So I think with your trading, I think the key thing is here is consistency and determination and sticking to the same rules all the time, discipline basically. They're what's going to really get people, the key to success, isn't it? In my mind anyway.
Definitely. Yeah, because I think the part that you're talking about is when she's talking about resulting, isn't it?
Yes, that's the word she uses. Yeah, so just explain that. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like So when you make a decision about something and you've taken all the factors that could have affected it into account, but you're hoping for a particular outcome, there's always going to be a probability that you're not going to get that outcome. But if you get the outcome you don't want, it doesn't mean that the decision that you made was bad. You still made a good decision, but you've just had like the outcome that was still a probability that was going to happen, but it's like the one that you don't want.
100%. Yeah. And then, how many times is that going to happen to people and then they're going to feel bad?
It always comes up in the live chat room at Trading College. People saying, "Oh, I lost this trade. What did I do wrong?" But that it, you it does it just because you lost a trade doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong at all. It was the 40 or 30% chance of that trade not hitting your target that happened in the end.
Exactly, and vice versa. I was actually speaking to somebody today that's trading really well, but not trading correctly. Yeah, and that's a really, really tough one to deal with because they're winning trades, and I'm looking at their rules that we've put together, and I'm like, maybe only about 10% of these trades are following your rules, but you're being vindicated at the moment because obviously some of your trades are winning. And they basically just got a bit overconfident that they've been winning over the past 3 or 4 weeks, in this bear market. So they've become, overconfidence has made them a bit more risky on some of the other trades that they're taking because, when you're in a winning streak like that, sometimes you don't feel like you can lose, right? So yeah, so like you said, that there is both sides to that story, isn't it? That you could do something wrong sometimes and still win.
Yeah, I think the analogy that she uses for that as well is it's about the traffic lights, isn't it? So if you stop at a red light and you don't get hit, that's sort of like that's a good decision. But if you go through the red light and you don't get hit, you've still not been hit, but it's sort of the bad decision side of that.
That's a great one. I think if I'm going to take anything from this podcast, it's probably going to be that analogy. I think you're right because yeah, you save a bit of time, don't you? Getting through the red light, but you still risked a huge amount of risk there, trying to go through that maneuver, haven't you? No, okay, cool. So if you were to give somebody who's new to trading like some advice to do with probability, yeah, what would it be? What would what kind of advice would you give a brand new person who just joined trading college or just started trading and they don't understand probabilities yet in trading? What would you say to them?
I'm sort of laughing to myself a bit because I feel like every time I come on the podcast, I end up talking about back testing. So,
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, okay. Here we go. We're going to talk about back testing. Yeah, but no, go on. That's fine.
I'll think of something else, another tip as well. But I think the back testing was that's the way that I sort of started to learn about it because by doing that, or even if you're not a fan of it, you want to do some forward testing, you've already done some back testing, you can still, by carrying out those trades or by looking back at trades that have already happened, it really just sort of shows you the probabilities of how the trade's going to work. And actually, I think in forward testing, it's actually more interesting because you don't have that sort of like hindsight bias of like sort of subtly ignoring trades that you can see that have lost, so you just sort of don't count them as part of your set.
Yeah, and you know what? You just said the two things there, that the forward testing and the back testing together, is you can measure the gap in the performance between the two. So if you've done 20 back tests and you think it looks fine, and you go off and do 20 forward tests and the results are slightly different, work out why. That's a very important point because when you're trading live, it's going to happen. There's going to be a performance gap, whether it's the time of day you're trading, whether you'll get called away by your family or you know what I mean, your job or something like that. There's going to be a reason why your live results aren't going to be the same as your back testing results or sometimes even your forward testing results. So on a demo or something. So definitely, there's a gap there. Work out why, a performance gap, and basically analyze that. That's going to be key.
And I think that's the sort of thing that I think is also very important to sort of keep going in your live trading as well, because when I was getting sort of towards the end of mentorship and doing a lot more live trading, I sort of added a column to the end of my trading journal where I would deliberately sort of 24 or 48 hours after each trade had completed, go back and look at it and see whether it was sort of a correct decision. Because like you said with you mentioned about your one of your students, you can have a winning trade that was a bad decision, and you need to make sure that you realize that and learn why. And equally, you can have a losing trade that was a good decision, and you can just sort of put that to the back of your mind and know that you're doing the right thing.
When I think it was with you, I had this conversation with a long time ago. So like still, even if you're following the rules, your mind kicks in. So like for example, if your rules follow and you've been on a really long extended trend and your rule kicks in a new trade, something in your mind still looks at it and says, oh, am I at the end of this trend? You know what I mean? Should I still be taking this trade? Like even if you've got your rules there, and be, like you just said, adding a notes column or a column into your trade journal to kind of work on that is really, really important. And that I think that will help anybody that does it, to be honest. That's a good part of journaling. So for me, I think that the risk to reward, the win rate, and balance of those two are key. Yeah, I think if you're gonna go for like, if you're watching sports or anything, and there's something that's got really long odds, that hasn't got a high probability of winning, and you bet on it, this is no different to that. I think if you're aiming for 6-1, 7-1 risk to rewards, you're gonna lose more trades than you're gonna win, and understanding that is really important. But having that balance of that risk to reward, if you're anywhere near 30, 40%, 50% win rate, and you've got a really high reward to risk ratio, that's fine, but if you're harvesting profits and you're trading like 2-1s, 1.5-1s, or even 1-1s, but you're winning above 60, 70% of your trades, you're winning above that, then that's fine as well. I've got day traders that aim for 1.5-1 or 2-1s all the time, but they're winning 70 or 80% of their trades. And that's just as good as somebody who's aiming for 6-1s and winning 40% of their trades. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah, I think that those are all sort of really, really key points to sort of take away and think about, definitely.
Yeah, and then have your variances of how many trades could go wrong in a row and how many trades can go right in a row. So over 100 trades, like with your back testing, like you said, if you're trading something like trend predictors, momentum triggers, or PTS, when you've collected your results over 100 trades or 50 trades or something like that, go back through them and see how many wins you get in a row and how many losers you get in a row, because that could obviously happen to you in real life. And we talk about this. There's two ways of measuring it. So one's called a Sharpe ratio, and the other one's called a maximum drawdown ratio. It's important to know those two, because then you'll know in your mind if you break through that variance, and there's a bit of a deviance in your results in live, how much downside that you could potentially be expecting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that's like it's it's definitely key for me as well to have that evidence behind you so that if ever you're in any doubt about whether you're doing stuff correctly or not, you can always look back and know, yeah, no, that's fine. I'm expecting that there's a possibility of that many losers in a row or whatever it is.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's good. I think there's some good bits in there that people will find very useful. And I think trading with probabilities and consistently running numbers is just gonna make you more successful. I think record keeping and journaling, they are imperative in this game. I mean, everybody calls it, the going to the gym of trading, isn't it? Keeping a journal, because everybody knows they should do it, but sometimes people don't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, I just think having a good solid trading journal so that you can go over your results with is just going to help you. It's really going to help your trading.
Yeah, definitely. It's life-changing, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely is. Okay, cool. Anything you wanted to close off on?
No, I think we covered everything. I think there's lots of sort of nuggets of stuff in there. So if anybody's sort of starting out, sort of researching the world of probabilities or wants to learn more about it, definitely listen back and like go over all the stuff that we've been talking about, because it's sort of it's a key aspect of stuff that we need to understand as traders.
Yeah, of course. And like Our success rate of our traders is really, really high. And you look at when you open a brokerage account, what it says, that 80% of traders or 90% of traders lose money. I mean, like, because we know this stuff and because we look at this stuff in so much detail, it really does make a difference to our traders. I mean, we've got some very, very good traders on our books, very good traders in the community, and we're always happy to help and answer questions. And so are they. We're a big trading community all going towards the same direction and trying to work towards the same goal. So yeah, just like if you do need any help or whatever, or you've got any questions for us, please send them in. We're happy to answer them. And thanks, Oshin, for helping out with this podcast. I know a few of the listeners have been waiting to hear from you again, so they'll be happy with this.
Thanks for my pleasure.
No worries. And yeah, we'll speak soon, and we'll try and get another episode up. They at the moment they're being published every 2 weeks, but hopefully one day we can get them done more frequent, in a more frequent pace. But no, awesome. Thanks, Oshin, and I'll speak to you guys soon. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you'd like any more information, please visit tradingcollege.co.uk. We have lots going on there. We have loads of free events and lots of places for you to look for any information you could possibly need about your trading journey.